You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Y'all say good morning better than any church I know. My name's Laconia. I am privileged to be here. 30 years ago, your rector, Todd Foster, was in my church youth group when I was a youth minister. And now I get to come here and I get to call him Father. To Todd, to Becky, to Reverend Hanson, did I get it right? Oh, and Vivian, Miss Vivian. When I walked in today, I called Miss Vivian's name and she said she was shocked. I went and studied your church while I was away, and it's good to be here. And I really enjoyed meeting your young people. I met Leanna, I met Quinlan, and a couple of others. So it's good to be here. During this morning's homily, I want you to know that I think a lot about what this Black History Month means, and not just for this month, but throughout especially these next coming years. I've asked myself what is most important in these times. First, as a believer in Jesus, a believer who happens to be Black, one who was born in New Orleans, one who went to a colored school up through the seventh grade, and one who witnessed and experienced racism. So if you will indulge me for a few minutes, I want to just invite you to listen. Listen to a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. It's a conversation about all of you. It's a conversation about me. It's a conversation about us. It's a conversation about God and the essence of God. So if there is a title to this talk, I would simply call it The Conversation. When I look this way, I will speak as Jesus the Son. And when I look this way, I will speak as the Father God. And if I mess up, please be kind to me. Father. Yes, Son. You want to talk to me, right? You know that this conversation was long in coming, Son. There's something about the two of us that we know. We always know. Yes, Father, goes back a long ways since the days of the beginning. Son, we've done all we could. Adam, Eve, and their sons were true indicators of the human condition. And how could we forget Noah and his family? We could have watched them all the way, but there was something about Noah. There was something about Noah that called me to hope in him. Yes, Father. People have such a weird sense of who and how you are. They just don't understand. I do remember Noah, Father. But I also remember your hanging in there with Abraham and with Lot. They cannot grasp your love for Abraham, nor can they grasp Abraham's love for you. What great love you had for Abraham, Father. Son, like I was saying, I remember promising to Abraham that his family would number like the stars, and it's coming true. But I get so disappointed in them. Yes, Father, they are disappointing. but they're also trying. The enemy is so deceiving. The enemy is so slithery. The enemy is like a thief in the night, isn't he? Son, I could not have said that better myself. We've tried everything, son. We sent them Moses. Ah, Moses. How he took everybody through the Red Sea. How he faced Pharaoh. How he led them 40 long years through the desert. And yet, that's right, Father. Even Moses wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. That was a tough one, Father. After all that Moses did, yours, Father, is a tough love, but love nonetheless. How I loved Moses. I remember speaking with him through the burning bush. I remember his tentativeness, how he grew, and how intimately we became on the mountain. And for him to forget his place with me. But he did get to see the land. Moses accepted my lordship, even when he didn't understand it all. Remember our judges, Father? I remember Samuel and Eli, how after Samuel heard the call a couple of times, Eli told him to simply say the words when he heard the Lord, "Here I am, Lord." Yes, I do remember them, son. I remember them all. But I also remember how the Israelites clamored for a king and not just a judge. And I gave in. Father, you don't just give in. You do what you do because you care and love, even when they fail you. It's part of you, Father. It's part of me, too. And it's part of the spirit that lives within them, that lives within us. Father, how can you not be who you are? Like I said before, son, we seem to know all about the other. I am reminded of David. He was a man after our own heart. And yet, Father, even David disappointed us with Bathsheba. Correct, son. But David had the ability to learn from his mistakes. And his humility only gave me hope for the future, a future that would lead to so many being saved. Father, David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. He indeed would not raise a finger against Saul, against the one you anointed. And this, even though Saul was trying to have David killed. Son, that's David. His heart was in the right place. Mistakes? Yes. But he so wanted to be my servant. His songs attest to that. No one has put to heart his love for me the way David has. David did not hold back. He gave me his all. Bare, spare, bold. And his son Solomon, Father, Solomon communicated deep affection for you too. Oh, yes, Solomon. Son of David and Bathsheba, many people might think one day that Solomon should never have had such a strong voice with me. But people should know that what I look for is how much do they aspire to be my servant? And Solomon did that. People forget that David and Bathsheba were hurting after their first child died. David heard, knowing that he too had hurt others. Father, that seems to be a theme with us. People not understanding our ability to care and love for them. They seem to need something concrete, something they can see with their eyes, not knowing that we are with them, even when they don't know that we are with them. That's true, son. It has always been that way. It will always be that way. Unless they keep their eyes on who, on what, and on why we are. It's why we sent Moses and Joseph and Eli and Samuel and David. It's why we sent Isaiah, Micah, Jonah, and Jeremiah. Oh, Father, Jonah's another one. One of our most reluctant religious leaders ever. We pretty much guaranteed his success in Nineveh. You're right, son. Prejudice and bigotry is something humanity will always have to confront. Even sometimes among those we send to preach. That's it, Father. Everyone we send is so flawed. No one is perfect. Not true, son. Oh, right, I forgot. That time has come, hasn't it? Everything that we've tried, but nothing has worked. Actually, it can't, son. It was all part of the plan. The plan to send me. Yes, son. Father, there's no other way. None, son. I knew that, Father. As did you, but you know what it will mean. Yes, son, it'll mean that we'll experience separation for the first time in our existence together. And that will hurt both of us. But we won't be alone. We're in this together. You, me, and the Spirit of the Holy. Father, I don't like this, but I'm willing to do it. Son, that's the Spirit. That's our Spirit. When, Father? Pretty soon, son. Father? Father, here I am. I know, son. I know. This is the end of the conversation as I envision God and Jesus coming to the knowledge that there was only one way for humanity to be saved. And that is through the love that God offers us through Christ. In many ways, I think of the enslaved peoples of the Caribbean, of the Americas, in Europe, Asia, and Africa. But particularly in our country, Christianity has been a gateway to foster white supremacy in the form of laws, regulations, and violence. Gandhi once said, quote, "I like your Christ, but not your Christianity," unquote. The writer James Baldwin was a Pentecostal preacher from age 14 to age 17. I would submit to you this morning that both Mr. Baldwin and Mr. Gandhi recognize something that many American Christians haven't recognized. That God called us to love as Christ loved. I would share with you that I have struggled with my own anger and sadness regarding the racism and bigotry that I've personally witnessed and experienced. and that there is only one thing that keeps me focused. And it is this, that God is a God of love. I take deep comfort in the story, indeed in the stories of God's love for humanity. That not only have others failed, but that I failed. That others whom God loves have disappointed me as believers in Jesus. And that I have disappointed God as a believer in Jesus. And so this morning to the St. Thomas faith community, the call here is simple. Remember God's love for the people throughout biblical history. Remember the connect between love for God and love for others. And conversely, remember the disconnect from saying that one can love God while simultaneously not acting out that love toward others, especially those who are on the margins. And may this faith community be recognized for its love of God, for its love of each other, irrespective of race, color, place of origin, sexual orientation, immigration, and economic status. May this faith community reflect the love of God in the Glassboro community and this season of Black History Month and beyond. Amen.
Amen.